sure you're awake, okay? Now, first of all, I have to pass on a message from some distance away. Bernard and Mary, my brother and sister-in-law, send their love and greetings with their prayers to all of you here at Brixworth Community Church. They're going to a bingo hall at the moment. It's called Beacon Church, but it was a Beacon Bingo before then. So it's undergone conversion. Praise the Lord. Hey, this is good, isn't it? So he's getting on very well there. They're in a house group and enjoying fellowship with the folk near Walsall, shall we say. It's sort of West Midlands-ish. I haven't been there yet, but I'm hoping to go with Margaret and see them.
I'm sure I'll speak for all of us, but could you pass on our best wishes to Bernard and Mary as well?
I certainly will. They'll be very happy to receive and to know the fellowship is still with them, as well as them enjoying the fellowship there. We've been going through Acts, and there's many good examples in Acts that are worth looking at from the people point of view. I must say, before I read, we're going to be touching on several of them this morning, and one of them is my favourite character in the New Testament. Now, I wonder if you know who that might be. Yes, Helen's heard this before, I think. Well, I'm getting old. But yes, Barnabas. What does it mean? Son of encouragement. Now, isn't that what we need as Christians? And don't forget to do it to other Christians. So if you forget everything else, be encouraged. But I have to add a little rider to this, and that is, there is a cartoon of the First World War, and in it, the Russian army is advancing against the Germans. And there is an officer behind the men on the front line, and he's hitting them with his sword. And the title is, "The Russian Officer Encourages His Troops." Okay. So if it gets a bit near the bone, you'll know why. Because it has to penetrate into our lives. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 14. And if you have that in front of you, that could be helpful. But if you haven't, you can look up. It's always good to look up. Acts chapter 15, yes. Why did I put that? Oh dear. Am I going to preach the wrong sermon as well? Oh dear. Right, now it's the last part of Acts chapter 15. It's jolly good to have a pastor to keep you in order. Right, verse 36. And in my Bible, I don't know if it's in yours, but it says, disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Wow. Some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Amen. Well now, following up converts. Every one of us here who are Christians will have been taught after we came to Christ more about what it meant to be not just a convert, but a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Are you a disciple, not just a convert, is the first question. Because we need to take steps forward. Now, we've got four children. The eldest one is 52 today. Oh, not today, 52. We're going to have dinner with her today. Her birthday's in October. But Esther was the first one. Then there was Mark, and 10 years later, Rhoda and Anna. So we've had four babies in the house. Now, some of you ladies know exactly what that means. And some of the men were pushed into it. And I'm sure that people got used to what babies needed. And it's vital they do. Because unless they get the right food, they don't flourish. And the health visitor, and Margaret was one, will come round and say, this child isn't flourishing. Are you giving her the right milk? Or how are you acting on the advice I gave you at my last visit? And, well, it's important that mothers know what they're doing. So it's important that if we have any influence on other younger Christians' lives, so I'm in the picture as well as you, it's important how we teach them, what we teach them, and that we monitor the growth of those young Christians. And this is exactly what was driving Paul and Barnabas. They wanted to go back to see where there had been the converts, churches put together. And more than that, they wanted to ensure that there were now people they could appoint as elders and deacons to look after the welfare of the church. And so together they were going to do that. And of course, Paul and Barnabas and other members of the group were going to work in partnership in order to do this effectively. So, where are we now in the terms of the reading? It says, sometime later, Paul and Barnabas said, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of God and see how they're doing. This is health check time. How are they doing? So how are you doing in your Christian life? Are you growing in grace, in knowledge, and in faith? Those are the three key things in the Christian life. Growing in grace, which God provides, in knowledge, which we need to develop, and in faith, because we're growing. Faith is something that you have to exercise in order to grow it stronger. And I liked Elaine's little testimony this morning, that she was able to, from her strength, grow something within the life of that lady in Perth. So, we can all play a part in building each other up. In fact, Paul tells us to build one another up in the holy faith that we profess. Okay, so here is the situation. The next verse says this. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. And then he goes on. But Paul did not think it wise to take him. So, there's a problem here, isn't there? Do Christians have problems and disagreements? So you've obviously got a few this morning. Well, maybe not, but you recognize the facts. That's what we're talking about. But later on, it also says, Mark went with Barnabas to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and went to Syria and Cilicia. So let's have a look at the situation. First of all then, what happens when Christians agree? And don't we always? No, we don't. But we all have valuable life experiences which we can draw on, where we can help others from our knowledge of the Bible, from our experience of walking with Jesus, and from the way in which we have been drawing on others in our recent experiences of life and reading God's word. We're in a wonderful family, aren't we? I'm related to all of you. Hey, that's... Oh, birthday cards. No. But the point is that have we a concern to build one another up? If we are in agreement, we allow others perhaps to pull us up, or maybe to pass on a word that has been encouraging to us. And that's great, because that is life work within the church. It's our life in practice. Last Sunday we heard how the Jerusalem church elders agreed. And so because they agreed, they could then tell the rest of the churches, this is what we believe is God's message for you for now. We have a problem. This is the message. We're agreed on it. Now, if there's a disagreement in a church, there's a disaster. But here, we're talking about agreement. So the first thing is, harmony is evident. Now, it's lovely to look on you, and I just sort of have this picture of you all having all different musical instruments. And here's Andy out the front, and he says, 1, 2, 3, away, and away we go. Because that's how churches should be, in harmony. Our instruments tuned for worship, our hearts tuned to love one another, and to be looking up so that we're ready to move when it's our time to come in. So agreement is very much linked with harmony. And the evidence of that is here in this particular part of Acts. They had opportunity to go and visit Christians and build them up. But they needed to be two duets rather than four together. That was what God had planned. So when they started to talk about what they were going to do, God actually arranged it. So it doubled their effectiveness. Now that's what God does. When it says in the Bible, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? But how can two people sing together unless they're in harmony? And so what God does is to have two harmonious groups to go out. Paul and Barnabas. What a couple of men. Paul was a born adventurer and could never stay long in one place. But the preparations for the journey ended in a tragic rift. That's what Mr. Barclay, one of the commentators, says. So we have two good men in the Word, and God's got a plan for what they're going to do. First thing, progress was made. Verse 41 tells us they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And of course, that would involve those responsibilities of Bible teaching, of appointing elders and deacons, and making sure that the church were in harmony wherever they were. It's also good to recognise that for us as Brixworth Community Church, we're not just one church on our own. We're a part of a group of churches called the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, with its headquarters at Market Harbour, and the nearest church is one in Kingsthorpe and one also in Market Harbour. So we are part of a group of churches, and we can benefit when we have combined things and have opportunity to fellowship together. So here we are. The next thing is God blessed. There was progress that was made, and God blesses that as the churches received the teaching. And the Lord was their vision, their protector, and Barnabas's cousin Mark also went off and began preaching in Cyprus. That was where he came from with Barnabas. So when Christians agree, we have three clear things: harmony, progress, and God brings blessing to those people. Let's go to the second point. Okay, what happens when Christians disagree? Any disagreeable people around this morning? No? Oh, that's good. I'm glad you're not disagreeable, because you might come and tear me apart afterwards and disagree with what I've just been said. But if you feel that I've said something that isn't biblically true, you just tell me, because it's only God's word that we can rely on, not man's exposition of it, which I'm seeking to do this morning. So, what happens when Christians disagree? Well, Paul was quite a tough guy to go with, don't you think? We think of him as, you know, this holy man who wrote the scriptures, and the Romans is particularly, it's really logically argued. He was a man that you couldn't argue with, because he had been alone with God in the desert for 3 years after his conversion, and he had processed the Old Testament, and he had experienced God's work in his life, and he was very well equipped, but he was a bit fiery. What did he do before he became a Christian? Threw people into prison, persecuted the church. People were in terror of him. Well, he wasn't a very nice man in that respect until God got hold of him. And then that fieriness and that energy could be thrust into things in a new way. Well, this is where the falling out comes, because it says this, that Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because of a previous experience. Now, my daughter Esther, and Margaret, of course, our daughter Esther has a recruitment business, and she has to match up a requirement of a firm with a qualities of a candidate, or two or three, because then people can choose which they prefer. And so sometimes she'll look at all her CVs, curriculum vitae, the story of your life, I believe it means, and they are put forward. And sometimes a lady, in many cases, there are men, and she does it with as well. But they're put forward, they go for an interview, they're taken on, and next day they walk out. And of course, within a few minutes, certainly an hour of them walking out, the firm's on the phone to Esther to say, hey, the person you sent me walked out. I'm not sure whether I can trust you to do another job for me. Or maybe I can understand, having seen her, why you said that. And then they can sort the matter out anyway. But the point is this, that people are not always suited for particular roles when they are put in those roles or when they volunteer for those roles. So here we are with the problem that's coming up. There's division and then there's separation, because they decided that if the work was to be done, other people needed to be brought in. Now, sometimes in churches, people need to be brought in to serve in particular roles. Most of the time, they are in the right role, and sometimes they're not. But the way forward for us as a church is, as we grow in numbers, obviously the leaders of the church are going to consider who should be people who can be responsible for various aspects of the work. That's already happening with the children, of course, and with the young people. So, Christians and disagreement. Can God still work in those circumstances? Well, he can, because he's greater than all, and he's greater than our doubts and fears and disagreements. But, as we've already seen, it's much better if people can work together in harmony and bring about things that God has already ordained to happen. So, Silas comes into the picture here. Now, Silas was a prophet, and so he could speak into situations and show what God's plan was in that situation. Now, I'm not sure if we've got a prophet or two in this church. The important thing is, a prophet speaks God's word into a tricky situation. Well, maybe we haven't got a tricky situation. Praise the Lord. But there are those who can see spiritually clearly and put the finger on a situation that perhaps might need to be changed. So that's what, in the Old Testament, the prophets did. They were mainly telling people, you're sinning, you're doing the wrong thing, you're not following God. Right, turn back, repent, and follow this way, which is what God is telling you to do. So that was Silas, so he could work well with Paul. So, what happens then when Christians are hearing God's direction? Well, first of all, there's progress. Have we seen progress here? I believe we have, in many different ways. In fact, Margaret and I are thrilled to be in a church like this one. I hope you are too. Because it's a church where people pray, where people take care of people, where there is an aspect of evangelism and also mission work. Although I think we're a little bit weak on that, if I may ask that to be considered. I think that mission work is something that we can forget about when we're concentrated on Brixworth. So I just flag that up as something is on my heart at the moment. And so what's happened here is that there's been progress in the work of building the church, and Andy and Hazel, Mike and others have actually worked together with Mark to bring about a church that is strong and a church that has heart and a church that welcomes people in. And so therefore, there is real progress through the teamwork that we actually have here in the church. And so, as a result of that, churches grow. I'm thankful to be in a church that is growing. I was talking to a friend who I was an elder with in another church in Northampton, and I said, so how are things with you at the moment? And he said, John, the numbers are declining. The people around us are largely from other countries and other religions. And he said, I think within a year or two we'll be down to 20. Now that was when I was there with him, and there are 80 people in fellowship, and there was plenty of life and action. So we have to be alert. As things change, we may need to change. We shall have guidance if we do. But I'm so glad it's called a community church and not just Brixworth Fellowship. That just talks about Christians having a happy time together. It's a community church, and it's making progress under God's grace, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you this morning that in your goodness you have drawn us together because of our love for you, and we thank you as we've broken bread and drunk wine this morning, that you have caught us together, called us together, and we are so, so glad that one day we shall be caught up to glory. Maybe, Lord, this will be the last time we meet in this building because you have come back. Lord, remember that drinking wine and eating bread is only until you come. And so, Lord, keep that in the mind of each of us here, that we may live our lives saying, perhaps today, the Lord will come. Father, we're not looking for release from service. We're looking for promotion to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Is there anything you want to say, Andy?